Can you put Jesus on the back seat and still keep him with you? I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. This ministry comes to you each week at this time over this station. I'm in a series of messages on my life story, which began in Nazi Germany in 1936, and today we'll continue with the story. Our Father, we pray now that your anointing will be on this sharing. For the honor and glory, we pray. Amen. Last week, I shared with you how Jesus called me to go to seminary when I was in the middle of a 2-year government contract. I shared with you, whenever Jesus calls you to do something, you run into a point of conflict. Will we serve man or will we serve God? Will we follow our own ideas, dreams, aspirations, or will we obey the Lord? I trusted the Lord that somehow He would help me to get out of this government contract with the least amount of turmoil. And I knew I had to, and I knew I wanted to, obey Jesus. So, the first step when Jesus calls you to an assignment, and you're in a difficult place, the first step is always to trust Him. Always trust Him. The second step is to obey Him. The third is to pray, and the fourth is to praise. And so I prayed all the way down from Alaska to California, and I told my regional boss that Jesus had called me to quit my job to enter seminary to prepare for the ministry. And between two puffs of blue cigar smoke, he said, "Since Jesus calls you, you better go." He released me from the contract. My friend, all things work together for good to those who love God. Now let me ask this question. If I would have said to Jesus, "Lord, I'm in a government contract. I need 6 more months to finish this contract because I have given a promise, Jesus, you're going to have to wait 6 months, and then I'm going to seminary." What do you think Jesus would have done with me? And so that gets us to the question, if you put Jesus on the back burner or on the back seat of your life, how long will He stay with you? If you make Jesus wait when He calls you, how long will He stay with you? Will it be 6 years, 6 weeks, 6 hours, or 6 seconds? How long was Jesus willing to wait for Matthew when He called him at the receipt of customs? Was it 6 hours, 6 minutes, or 6 seconds? Some of you know about these tandem bicycles. These are bicycles for two. My wife and I had one of those. Since she wanted me to sit in front, she normally had a very poor view because I'm 6'5 and she's 5'5, and so all she could see was the left and to the right of her, but nothing in front of her. She was just pedaling, but I was pedaling and controlling and steering the bicycle. Now, you have to think about life being like you and Jesus getting on a tandem bicycle. He wants to sit in front, and He wants to have the controls, and all He wants you to do is sit behind Him and just pedal and trust Him, because you can't see very far, but He can see everything that's ahead. So let me ask you this question. If all of a sudden you decide to say, "Why don't you, Jesus, go and sit in the back for a while, and I'll sit in front," would Jesus do that? Can you get Him on the back seat of your life? Or would He simply say, "Listen, if you don't let me sit in the front and control this bicycle and take charge of this ride, I'm not going on this bicycle, period. It's all yours to drive by yourself." Can we seriously put Jesus on the back burner and expect Him to stay with us? What does your Bible tell you? What does the history of Israel tell you? What do the prophets, the gospel teachings, and the apostolic teachings tell you about this? What do you learn from the story I referred to last week when Jesus called a man and said, "Come and follow me," and the man said, "Let me first bury my father. Let me stay with my father till he dies, and then I will come and follow you." Let me ask you, my dear friend, was Jesus willing to wait for this man till his father died? Or was Jesus going on and finding somebody else to fill his place in discipleship? Jesus said, "It's time to go to seminary. It's time to go now." Well, glory to God, by God's grace, I let Him stay on the front seat and I stayed on the back seat. And that's the way we, Jesus and I, pedaled down from the state of Alaska to seminary in Kentucky. Of course, that's metaphorically speaking. I drove my little Dodge Dart 2-door car, pulling the 4x8 homemade trailer from Alaska all the way down to the Middle West. On the way down, on the 3,000-mile drive, I had many exciting experiences, but I want to go on now to Indiana, where my wife's parents were, and I had 6 weeks to go before seminary. I had no money in savings. I had enough money for a few days. And so Jesus had to provide because I belonged to no religious organization. Again, principle comes in, trust, then obey, then pray, and then rejoice. The Lord impressed upon me that if I would simply do what I could do, He would do the rest. I needed hundreds and hundreds of dollars to go to seminary with my wife and two children. I went to Manpower. That's an organization that hires people off the street for a few hours here and there. And I went in there and said, "Do you have any work for me?" There was a whole group of men sitting around on the benches. He said, "Yes, we do." And I said, "What do you have?" And he said, "Well, we need a man to work the night shift in a flour mill this evening. And it's a place where they just make flour." And I said, "I'll take it." I was offered minimum wage. And this job, dear friend, was picking up 50 pounds of flour bags off a conveyor belt and carrying them into a boxcar and loading them up in the car for this flour to be shipped to Southeast Asia, to Thailand, to Vietnam, to Cambodia, and other countries. And I was linked up with a short, stocky fellow. I'm a tall, skinny person. And he said, "I take the bottom of the boxcar and you take the top." And so we went. I had to keep up with this strong little fellow and the conveyor belt. My friend, I had been sitting in an office for 3 years. I didn't do any weightlifting. I had no exercise program. So what did I do? Back again. You trust, you obey, you pray, and you praise. And you're waiting for a miracle. And the Lord gave me strength. Jesus said, "Go thou to Asbury Theological Seminary." And I had no idea that that meant for me to go through a flour mill loading up a boxcar. My friend, when you get on a tandem bicycle with Jesus, you never know what He will take you through. And sometimes it's a rough ride and you just hang on for dear life. Well, I think it worked one or two nights. I can't recall. And a replacement came. And then I went back to Manpower and said, "Do you have any work for me today?" They said, "Yes, we have another job for you. Also minimum wage." They said, "We have a huge warehouse that needs sweeping. It'll take you all 8 hours of the day to sweep it out, pushing a broom." I said, "I'll take it." Back on the tandem bicycle again, and through 8 hours of dust, hallelujah, we're on the way to seminary. I knew if I would keep going like this with minimum wage every day, I would never be able to raise those hundreds of dollars for seminary. But I did know this. If I did all I could, Jesus would do the rest. And I also knew never to complain about a job, never to complain about a salary, and never to strike. This striking business we have in our nation is a terrible, terrible thing. Where are our role models? Where are the role models for our children when we have teachers going on strike and airline pilots going on strike and factory workers going on strike? Then why can't we have teenagers and children go on strike when they don't have it the way they want it to go? Oh, my friend, the Apostle Paul said, "Be content with your wages, and godliness with contentment is great gain." So I worked for Manpower a few days, and then all of a sudden, Jesus opened up a wonderful job. I had a little over a week left to go before seminary would start. My father-in-law worked for a license bureau, and he said, "Son, there's a company here that needs a semi-truck driver." And he said, "Why don't you just take your chauffeur's license, and you can drive truck all the way down to New Mexico, make a lot of money." I said, "Praise the Lord, I'll do that." So I took my chauffeur's license and I got into this truck place. The secretary gave me the key for the truck. It was loaded up. It was a double-decker loaded with speedboats. She said, "This truck goes to New Mexico." I was in Indiana. And she said, "It'll take you several days to get there, and then you have to stay there for maybe a day or two while they unload the truck, and then you bring it back." Well, I never drove a semi-truck in my lifetime. But the interesting thing is that they never asked me if I ever drove a truck before. Nobody went out with me to show me how to drive this big long rig. So I got into the truck, started the engine, and I started to play around with the gears until I found one gear that locked in real good, and I pulled this truck out of the fenced-in yard, and I drove along the side of the road there, and I stopped and I said, "Jesus, would you help me to know what is the first, second, fourth, eighth, and ninth, and tenth gear?" And the Lord helped me to figure this out, to know which speed to drive with what gear. If there's ever been a totally inexperienced truck driver, semi-truck driver, it was me on the road. But God helped. God provided hundreds of dollars for me just from this one job to start at Asbury Theological Seminary. My wife is a nurse. She went to work and she worked me through the rest of the way. My friend, do you think that if I would have gotten off the tandem bicycle at the flour mill or in the dust of the warehouse for minimum wage, do you think Jesus would have taken me to this well-paying truck driving job? I think you know the answer. Oh, I could have written letters to friends. I could have asked people to help me. I could have borrowed money. But I said, no, Jesus, I'm trusting you. You called me, and I'm trusting you to help me. And so Jesus is just the same today as he always was. The one, my friend, who changed water into wine. The one who can still storms. The one who can feed thousands with a few loaves of fishes. The one who provided a ram for Abraham when he had his son tied on the altar of sacrifice. So Jesus today is just the same. He never cometh late. My friend, my brother, my sister, do you ever put Jesus on the back burner? Do not ever think you can't put him on the back seat or the back burner. Many, many of your troubles perhaps are because you're sitting on the front seat. You have your hands on the controls, and you think Jesus is on the back seat pedaling, while in reality, there's nobody on the back seat. You have left Jesus, my friend, a long time ago by going your own way, following your own intuition, your own feelings, your own desires, your own plans, and making your own arrangements. This is not discipleship. The scriptures say in Luke chapter 14, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Christianity without the cross, without self-denial, Christianity without forsaking all to follow Jesus is not Christianity. When Jesus is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. You cannot have saviorhood without lordship. So, my friend, I encourage you in the love of the Lord Jesus that when I get off the air with this radio program, that you get on your knees and let Jesus have the front seat of your life again. That you just simply pedal and follow him and stay with him. Oh, it'll make all the difference for you and those you touch the rest of your life. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Good paddling on the tandem bicycle. Goodbye now. Until next week.